Welcome to the Sports Hour Podcast, episode number 15. Peyton, Buzz, Toby, Grady, Chuck, the usual gang. Garrett's back there. He ain't going to be talking. But what's up, guys? How is everybody doing on this beautiful Monday night?
With high school baseball coming up, with playoffs coming up, we're looking forward to do a little bit of high school sports again. I feel like it was a hot topic at the time we did high school basketball, so I'm looking forward to going back and doing some more high school sports.
I'll be doing a lot better if Ole Miss beats State this weekend. So I'll be ask me that in a week.
I'll be doing really good here in about 3 weeks when I go and grab that diploma.
Chuck, what about you? You're watching Freddie Freeman and Bob the Braves.
I am actually. What I'm gonna do is go to Home Depot or Lowe's. Which one's in Oxford?
Home Depot.
Go on, buying all the broom for the sweep the Reds are getting this weekend.
That's a W.
I like the confidence. Let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the NBA really quickly. Let's get this out of the way. We did playoff predictions last week. The first round still going on. Nothing to talk about there. Let's talk NBA award finalists. Marcus Smart was awarded Defensive Player of the Year today. First of all, valid. I mean, do you think that was do you feel like that was to give credit to Marcus Smart, or rather the Celtics' unbelievable run in the back half of the season?
I'm going to say that Marcus Smart is the first guard to win the Defensive Player of the Year since Gary Payton.
Yes, he
is. So that's I think it does have to do with Celtics' success, but I think it's a big testament to Marcus Smart, just the great year he had.
Yeah, no, he was an absolute cornerstone to the Celtics run in the back half. But, you know, it always brings up an interesting topic when, especially because a lot of people claim in the NBA more than any other league that awards are based on team success rather than personal success. So, you know, I'm curious about what you guys think.
Triple J got robbed.
Triple J did not get robbed. He should have. I think you can make an argument for him to be top three, but he didn't rob him.
He had such a good season, though.
He did have a great season.
Marcus Smart also had a good season.
Set a franchise record for blocks. Yeah. No doubt about it.
I think that's really – it's good confidence for the Grizzlies later on in the future that they got a guy that he can lock down. I think he'll win a couple of those over his career.
Grady, are you still in playoff basketball? Are you still in basketball strike right now?
No, we're talking about a Celtics, so I really don't care.
Okay, that's fair. Well, let's get somewhere else then. Let's talk other – five more awards to be given out. Let's start with Rookie of the Year. Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, and Evan Mobley. Who's your pick? I really think it has to be Evan Mobley.
Desmond Bain.
I would say Mobley too, but Cade Cunningham had such a strong second half to his season.
He really did.
So he made a late push, but I think it's got to be Mobley.
Yeah, I think Cunningham had a slow start to the first half of the season. I think that's what's going to kind of limit him a little bit. Evan Mobley just played good the whole season, so give me Evan Mobley to win it.
Cunningham wanted to play with a poverty franchise team and the Pistons, so I'm going with Mobley.
Pistons is where careers die.
You really got to give some credit too to Scotty Barnes. Barnes isn't going to win it, but he had a fantastic season as well. Was a big part of the Raptors being in playoff contention.
The Pistons are kind of like the Utah Jazz of the NBA.
Oh, man. NBA Sixth Man of the Year, Tyler Hero, Cam Johnson, and Kevin Love.
Well, I got to go with my boy, Tyler Hero.
See, I knew Toby's going to say that. About once a week, Toby comes in here and says, I'm going to get me a Tyler Hero Miami Vice jersey. So I knew Toby. That's Toby's boy, so... He did have a great season. He is going to get a bag this offseason. So, yeah, I think it's got to be Hero.
I think Hero.
I've looked everywhere for that Vice jersey, and you cannot find them anywhere.
They're going to extend Hero, and then he's going to be out of the league in 5 years. So I'm going.
Oh, my gosh. Grady is done with the basketball right now.
He's talking about careers ending over here.
All because the Lakers didn't get the 10 seed. Oh, man. Most improved player, Darius Garland, DeJounte Murray, and Ja Morant.
I think it's got to be Garland. Garland had such a – I mean, you could say Ja Morant led the Grizzlies to a 2-seed, but Garland, I mean, the Cavaliers are in playoff contention all year, mainly because he was an all-star, first-year all-star, so I think Garland is my pick.
I think it's a toss-up, but when you got a guy who's going to probably get votes for MVP, you got to give him the award. It's got to be Ja Morant that gets it, correct?
Okay, here's the thing. It comes down to – this. Honestly, you can relate this talk, I think, a lot back to – when Ben Simmons won MVP or Rookie of the Year over Donovan Mitchell. You know, Ben Simmons had the better rookie year, quote unquote. Or no, rather, sorry, it wasn't Ben Simmons. It was Joel Embiid. When Joel Embiid, people were talking about, he was clearly the Rookie of the Year, but he did not play in enough games for people to really say, well, you know, he deserves that award. I think he only played in 50 games that year. Giles only played 55 this year. So I think the game limit could make some people think, well, you know, Job was electric, but maybe we should, you know, maybe he didn't play enough games to validate getting an award. Ja, I think, is the correct pick, but I'm going to say voters go with Garland too for the games played issue.
Speaking real quick about that, I saw a tweet just a couple of days ago about the NBA, and it was actually across every single sport that they were saying before you could be your name could be mentioned for an award, you have to play a limited amount of number.
And that's a fantastic rule.
Yeah, and I think like anywhere from, you know, 59 to 65, if you cannot play at least that many games, you shouldn't be nominated.
If you can't play 3/4 of your season,
yeah, it's fashion. Yeah,
that you shouldn't be nominated. NBA Coach of the Year, Taylor Jenkins, Eric Spoelstra, and Monty Williams. Three really good coaches. I think you give it to any of these three guys, I'm really not going to say you picked wrong.
I think it's got to be Jenkins. The Grizzlies, I mean, they've had a great year. 2 seed in the West. I think it's got to be Jenkins.
Here's the thing. It comes down to an interesting, the most impressive, surprising performance from a coach, which is Jenkins. The coach with the best record in the NBA, Monty Williams, or the coach that is probably the, just in general, the best coach in the NBA, and Eric Spoelstra.
I think you can't give it to Spoelstra because of the cracks that team showed, where like they've got each other's faces.
Tell me, they're the number one seed.
But the one seed in the East.
But still, like the team chemistry is awful. I think you have to give it to Jenkins though.
Man just said team's chemistry is awful. They beat the Hawks by 32 the other night.
He saw one clip, one 30-second clip. Like,
we need Chuck to say what he said in the group chat the other night. Toby, your opinion is never valid. Anybody that's ever agreed with you is wrong.
That was a fun night in the group chat.
We're waiting for the baseball segment until we get to that part.
That was a fun night in the group chat. I'm gonna say it's Monty Williams. And honestly, I would probably give it to Jenkins because of the job he's done. But I just have a feeling that it's going to be Monty Williams because of the Suns having the best record. Because, I mean, the Suns were just unbelievable this year. You know, even without CP3 for an extended period, they still had a stranglehold on the number one in the West. I think it's going to be
Monty Taylor Williams. Jenkins is going to get a bag in the offseason.
Probably so. You're probably right. Grady, what about you? I know you hadn't talked much in the NBA season, but
I was going to talk about the last segment too. You were talking about Garland and Ja Morant before
we
do the
coach.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But what I was going to say is Garland's – He's a guy that's up and coming. You could supposedly be a star for Cleveland, that metro area. To me, the only guy on that list that's a superstar is Ja Morant. So that was going to be my pick for that one because I believe he's the next guy that's coming up. He's going to be legit. He's gonna lead that franchise to ceilings that they've never been to before. But with Spoelstra, and even though, like Toby said, he said it was a crutch that the Heat had those problems. That was a problem. That's why he shouldn't win. I'm going to spin that around. I think that's the reason that he should win is because even though they had those emotional problems earlier in the year, towards the middle of the year when they sort of slumped a little bit, they're still the one seed. So I'm thinking if you can maintain the nucleus of your team and still be able to be the one seed, I think that should be able to make you the coach of the year.
I'm texting our NBA enthusiast right now to see if he'll send us his picks, which is Corey, obviously.
Yeah. Corey is the encyclopedia.
He's the Sports Hour pod basketball analyst. And fun fact, he's also the hockey analyst for the Sports Hour podcast.
He is.
Anyway, last pick of the night for us. And if Corey sends that in, if he sends me just a text, I'll insert the winners. You know, I'll say them. Or if he sends me a video, I'll insert his winners right here.
So Jokic, I think, is going to win it. Over Embiid. I think Embiid probably would get number two. I think it sucks for Embiid because this was by far a career year and is probably going to, like, hopefully not, you know, looking upside, but it's probably going to go down as his best season. You know, he's the first big man to win scoring title since Shaq, so it sucks. But at the same time, Jokic just had a better season and has led a crappier team to, what was it, the sixth seed? So, you know, it sucks for Joel Embiid, but I think that Jokic is just, he had a better season and was a better winner. With Rookie of the Year, I think Scottie Barnes really made a push. I think even Cade made a push, but I think Scottie Barnes is probably going to get second or first. But with Mobley, you know, Mobley started off the season much better than all the rest. It was a shoe-in. and it was his race to lose, his award to lose. And Scotty Barnes really just made a push, so did Cade. Some injuries just to the Cavs in general that asked Mobley to do certain things by himself. I think Mobley's still going to win it, though, just based off of the consistency and the longevity of his full rookie year compared to two-thirds of one from Scotty and Cade. As much as I like Scotty Barnes, I think Monty Williams has to win Coach of the Year. I think it's just because you have to give some sort of award to that good of a team, and no one else is going to get an award because Sixth Man of the Year is Tyler Hero, and it's not even in question. And Defense Player of the Year, of course, Marcus Smart. And Most Improved is sad to say, but Darius Garland is going to win it over Ja, just because no one votes. No one wants an all-star level player that goes to a superstar to win. They just hate that narrative for some reason, even though the leap from all-star to superstar is the hardest one that anyone can make. But Darius Garland no doubt had the award in his pocket, and it was almost his to lose also. I think, sadly, DeJounte Murray also had a great year. I think Jordan Poole had a great year. I think a lot of people were in the running for it. I think it was probably an 8-10 person run. But I think Darius Garland, he had a lot of momentum. The narrative was for him in the beginning of the year. But I think that leap from 9 points to 18-7 or whatever he averaged is most improved at its definition. So that's my picks.
The NBA MVP, it comes down to the final three guys: Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic.
My MVP is Giannis. Giannis is the most dominant player in the league. You take Giannis off that Bucks team, are they a playoff team? Chris Middleton's an all-star, but can he lead a team? I don't think so. Jokic and Embiid have both had great seasons. But what if Jokic is a 6 seed, Embiid's a 4 seed, Giannis led his team to the 3 seed. So when you look at MVP, I think Giannis is the most valuable player in the NBA.
I think Joel Embiid is the best center in the NBA. And I think getting a scoring title solidified that he should be the MVP. And I'm going to pick Joel Embiid to win it because of that.
It upsets me because DeRozan didn't have the stretch at the end of the year that he needed to be in that stretch run to be in the top three for MVP. And I agree, Embiid's a really good player. Jokic is a really good player. And what's going to hurt Giannis, that's eventually going to be my MVP winner, is like you said, voter fatigue. I feel like he's like LeBron in his heyday. He's like Kobe. He's like all these other players. Voters don't want to vote for him every year because they could win every year.
Well, it's what's expected of him. Now, when Giannis puts up 27-13, everybody's like, oh, well, that's just a Giannis night.
What's amazing about Giannis this year is he's 6'10". He's still getting to the goal, but he's making jump shots this year.
I saw a clip today. He hit 15 threes in a row in practice.
He's hitting jump shots this year. He's even better. Yeah. But he's not going to win because of voter fatigue.
Talking about how you said, averaging 27-13, and it's just like it's normal. That's the same thing that happened to Westbrook when he had 3 straight seasons averaging a triple-double. After the second year, he won the MVP the first one. And it was like, well, we just expect that now.
It's like Michael Jordan, too. Yeah. I mean, it just happens. That's just how it is.
You said Giannis. You said Joel. Toby, I'm going to go against both of you. I'm going to say Nikola Jokic. This is a guy who won it last year, so I think the voter fatigue could hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
But all in all, this is a dude who put up a historic season in terms of, I think he was the first player in NBA history to have 2,000 points, 1,500 rebounds, and 1,000 assists in a season. Unbelievable numbers from Jokic. And, you talked about Giannis, and I agree with you. That Bucks team is a fringe playoff team without Giannis. The Nuggets without Jokic this year are a top-5 lottery selection team, and he's dragged them not only to the postseason, but out of the play-in. Like, they had a solidified playoff spot, didn't have to play for it. For that alone, and the historic season he's had, Jokic is my MVP.
I think it's going to be Embiid this year because he's the one, he's the outlier that hasn't got it yet. He's been in that discussion for 4 or 5 years, so I think it's going to be
Embiid. I'll say this. Giannis, if I had a vote, I would pick Giannis, but I think Jokic will be the MVP. I'll say that.
Good discussion. But that will move us on from the NBA. Now let's move into a little bit of high school baseball. Division play ended last week. The playoffs will begin this week, I believe that's going to be on Friday. and we are just going to go through some matchups, and y'all just kind of tell me, you know, if you feel this could be, you know, good matchups. Some of you may have pulled up, some of you may not, but I'm going to just kind of read through some of these quickly. Biggersville and Smithville, those are two very good programs in 1A. That's going to be a good matchup. It's a 1-4 matchup. Surprising to see Smithville in the 4. That's not where you usually see them.
Right.
But I still think that's going to be a really good matchup. Really interesting matchup.
It will be because, like you said, Smithville is perennially there. They have a guy in the Braves minor league system right now out of high school. His name's slipping my mind.
Jarrett Johnson.
Yeah, Jarrett Johnson. But, I mean, that guy's throwing 95, 96 in high school. And now he's with the Braves system. I mean, that's a school that's just perennially just a really good baseball school. That blue bloods of high school baseball in Mississippi. And Biggersville this year just seemed like they're racking up in all sports. They won their division this year in 1A again in baseball. And, of course, they won a state championship in both girls and boys basketball. So it's going to be interesting to see how that series goes. And in high school, it's the best 2 out of 3. So that's another thing to look at as well as it goes along. With those little schools, if you've got two pitchers that can go, you may win a state championship.
Toby, we get it. You got 1,000 likes on your tweet today. Please. It cost you $150 for those 1,000 likes. Are you happy about that?
I am happy about
Speaking
it.
Speaking on Jarrett Johnson, he is the Braves' 28th ranked prospect.
That's pretty cool.
I got to be honest. I don't know much about the MLB farm system. Is 28 good?
Yes.
Is
that's really good.
Yes. When you have three minor league systems, including single A with high and low.
All of them are 25-man rosters.
Yeah, you're in the top 100.
Yeah.
Where's he at?
In the foreseeable,
I'm guessing that means they call up in the foreseeable future.
And like from what they're saying with 28, that would mean that in the next 4 or 5 years he will progressively go higher, and they could see him in the major league roster.
Another
is single A.
Is he single A?
See, low bar.
It doesn't say. He's projected estimated time of arrival to the Braves is 2025.
Yes, I want to take him to be in the major leagues in 4 years.
I'm gonna do a tier list. I've got three teams that I'm eager to see this year in the playoffs that I'm looking forward to play this year in the baseball playoffs. Number three for me this year is the Belmont Cardinals. It's the first time they've made the playoffs since 2015. That was the year they went to the state championship game. So I'm really excited for that program to get it turned around. I was there in 2016, the year after they went to the state championship. And it's a great school. I mean, they have great roots in high school baseball. And it's fun to see that program headed in the right direction again. Number two for me is the Ripley Tigers. Ty Long, that dude, I know his brother really well, Will Long. He plays at East Mississippi Community College. But Ty is just as good. I'm not going to say he's better than Will, but Ty's a really good baseball player. He's their ace pitcher. He's a guy that can hit the ball a long way. So I'm really eager to see how far Ripley goes this year. And my number one team, and it's my hometown team, the Nettleton Tigers. Me and Bose were talking before the podcast started tonight, and we think wholeheartedly that the Nettleton Tigers can win the 3A state championship this year.
Well, they're the one seed in their region, so.
Yes, and in 3A, according to SB Live, which is Scorebook Live on the internet, Amory is number one, who Nettleton just took 2 or 3 from in a series. They split it.
They'll be again in playoffs.
Yeah, and then Nettleton's 2, Water Valley's 3, 4 is Southeast, Lauderdale, 5 is St. Andrews, Episcopal, and then that is the end of the top 5. But Nettleton Amory beat them in the first game in extra innings by 1 run, and then Nettleton beat them at home 8-0.
Yeah.
So my thought process is with a lot of seniors. How many seniors would you say, 7 or 8 this year?
It's a lot. This is the year. If they're going to do it, it's going to be this year. Jackson Cheek, North Alabama signee, Evan Smith going to East Mississippi. Man, there's some dudes on that team. This is their year to do it. If they're going to do it, this is the year.
And a guy that's severely overlooked, I feel like, Jalen Betts.
Yep.
I mean, I call him Mookie Betts because, I mean, he's just like Mookie Betts. He had a grand slam this week against Caledonia, who's usually a really good baseball school. I mean, from 1-9, and they've got a new coach this year, Madison Central, pitching coach. I mean, they're a team to look for in 3A this year.
Also, Kate Oswald, he's hit bombs all year. They're catchers. So, I mean, I think him hit. I mean, watch out for them.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention my alma mater, West Union, as well. Yeah. They're the one seed in their region, Region 3-1A as well. So that's a team definitely that I think can make a run towards the state title. 2A, East Union Urchins lost to Taylorsville in the state championship last year. A very good Taylorsville team. I saw them in person at the state championship down in Pearl. And I just think that I just think East Union is destined to win 2A this year. I feel like, and I may get ratioed by somebody, but they just seem far and away better than everybody in 2A this year.
You look at 2A baseball for the last 10 years, I guess, since Buzz has been in eighth grade. He's not 30, of course, but Buzz was in a high school a long time ago. But what I want to say about East Union baseball is East Union baseball, that's all they do. They play baseball. And every year they field a team that can win a state championship, I feel like. So I've seen Pine Grove's baseball team. They've had a really good record this year. I think they're 9-3 in their division, but I think they dropped two against East Union. East Union is just, if you're going to win 2A baseball, that road runs through East Union in the north. So I'm eager to see how that goes.
By the way, don't want to interrupt this too long.
Yeah.
I got Corey's picks. He texted them to me. And I feel I'm pretty good about my picks now because he picked perfectly with me. He picked Jokic as MVP, Mobley as Rookie of the Year, Hero as the Sixth Man of the Year, and he put in parentheses, landslide. Darius Garland as Most Improved, and Monty Williams as Coach of the Year. So he picked right along with me. I'm feeling pretty good about that. But anyway, let's move back into the baseball. I just want to get Corey's picks in there. You know, looking at other matchups, Pine Grove is, you know, team of the area, number two team. They play Calhoun City. That's going to be a really fun matchup in the first round.
Calhoun City won state championship in baseball not too long ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. That's going to be a fun matchup. We said Nettleton, Amory as a two seed in the playoffs is in. Kossuth as a one seed. I feel like, I don't know if they're on the same side. Yes, they are on the same side. They'll eventually obviously meet up for North Half. That's a matchup that, fun fact, when my brother was at Nettleton junior year, they had a state championship caliber team, ran into another state championship caliber team in Kossuth, which won state that year, lost to them in a 3-game series. One of the best high school baseball series I've ever seen in my life. That's a matchup that I would be very excited to see. Because Kossuth is an unbelievable baseball program.
We played Kossuth Grady's senior year, my sophomore year. That was a good series. I think we swept them, I think.
We swept them. We went over there and we walked into our dugout, and there was a dude in our team. He was a freshman at the time. He had made a rap song about our team that year, and like we were all mentioned in the song. And they were like having it on blast, like trolling us all the time, and then we went in there and swept them. So that was a pretty sweet thing to happen that year. But just a fun fact about us playing baseball back in the day.
Looking through some of the other regions.
Did Corinth make it?
Corinth, yeah, they are the two seed in region number two.
The Warriors.
Where's Tishomingo County at? Are they in there somewhere?
Who did not make it was the Houston Hilltoppers. As far as I'm seeing on this bracket, I'm not seeing Houston in. They're in region. What region are they? They're in region 2-4A, I believe. South Pontotoc. South Pontotoc is the 4 in that region. Ripley is the 1. North Pontotoc is 3 and Pontotoc is 2. So yes, they did not make it. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great baseball. I know we were talking about it during basketball season. I forgot about it, but that's all three Pontotoc schools, Houston and Ripley. Oh my gosh.
That might be the toughest division in the state.
Yeah,
I said. You know, none of those are super big basketball powerhouses, although Ripley and you all are really good.
Yeah.
And Pontotoc. Yeah. But all around in the big three major sports, I said that might be the most competitive and the most rivalry-filled division in Mississippi High School sports.
Every game.
Our football,
because it is North, South, and Pontotoc City, New Albany, Ripley. Houston, and Ripley.
Yeah.
That is a rivalry filled division, the Highway 15 division, as everybody likes to call it.
Golly.
That's a fun division to watch every year.
Okay, wait. Where's Tish at then?
Wouldn't they
be in that New Albany? And
they used to be in New Albany's division. They moved into another region.
We were 4-4A, like League Central, Kosciuszko.
Looking at 5A, Lafayette is awaiting in with a bye for the winner. Which I believe would be Canton. You know, 5 and 6, when you get to that level, it's so weird because teams have byes in the end of the second round. Also, sometimes first round, too. You know, it's hard to look at. Oxford is a local team as well that is in 6A, awaiting the winner of the first round between Clinton and Center Hill.
Where's Tupelo at in 6A?
Tupelo. Oh, my gosh. Would you believe it? Tupelo's not in the playoffs.
Seriously?
Yet another Tupelo team that disappoints their fans.
They've got 2 or 3 Division I players on that team.
If I ever want a job at Tupelo High School, I'm not getting it. I'll be honest with you. But anyway.
They just pull up the Sports Hour podcast and they're like, no.
No.
In front of you.
I'm going to be in an interview and they're just going to say, this you? And they're going to press play.
They take your application. They got a shredder machine.
Not only is it going to be the podcast, they're going to cut a reel of all the times I've roasted Tupelo. It's just going to be 10 minutes of me roasting Tupelo.
More views for us.
Hey, that's true.
I might forget my junior year. We played Morville in high school baseball. And we were winning by 2 runs going into the 7th inning. We were winning by, I think it was 6-4. And I think it was a freshman at the time. Hit a home run to go in extra innings. And then they scored in like either the 8th or 9th to go up and win that game. That's the loudest I've ever heard of a high school baseball game. High school baseball, just like high school basketball in this area, is a sport that gets people going. I mean, of course, Ole Miss and Mississippi State baseball gets people right up, getting ready to fight. But if you're going to talk about high school baseball rivalries, Amory and Nettleton, when they play that playoff series, it's going to be cutthroat.
You'll need a lot of security.
So let me ask you, in Mississippi, what do you think they care more about, high school basketball or high school baseball?
Okay, where we come from, like basketball. Like Garrett, me, Buzz,
Hill Country.
Yeah, it's basketball. But like if you're Houston, if you're East Union, yeah. If you're Nettleton before we were there, I would say it was mainly baseball as well. Kossuth, I mean Alcorn Central, these schools that most of the time don't really care about their other sports. They're legit about baseball.
Tippah County is all about baseball, though, too. We got Ryan Ripley.
I want to phrase that a little bit of a different way. Not to be, you know, like woke or anything, but all these schools care about their other sports to an extent. But obviously, you have more people packing it out.
You know what you're good at.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you can say, yeah, we care about, but I guess I'm going to put it on the podcast. East Union doesn't really care as much about their basketball program as they do their
Which is crazy because, yeah. You know, when my dad was hired at West Union back in 2014, when we came there, you know, he told us and everybody else told us, you know, it's not like at Nettleton where, you know, football's the thing. You know, everybody's talking about football.
Yeah.
And, you know,
or baseball.
They get hyped when October comes. That's basketball season. That's what they talk about.
Yeah.
And for West Union, it still is for basketball. For Ingemar, it still is basketball. For Myrtle, they're starting to move into the direction of they really like their football in Myrtle. They really care about that program. But it's still basketball for Myrtle. But East Union has kind of made that jump already to football and baseball are their things.
Yeah.
And basketball has kind of gotten left behind. And I hate it because I hate seeing that Union County basketball legacy not happen there. Plus, I love Coach Tim McDonald. He's one of my favorite people. I love Coach Tim McDonald. And he does a great job with that program. But – you know, it's so interesting to see how people, you know, change their ways and defect to another sport. Sometimes it's what's new, and then you build a little bit of success, a little bit of momentum, and people quickly flip.
What surprises me, year in and year out – go ahead, Garrett.
I'm going to say one thing. East Union has never been a basketball – East Union has never been a basketball school.
That's Cal.
We beat the living
We'll bleep that.
I'm going to have to cut this. Oh, my God.
But what I was going to say is, what surprises me year in, year out about Ingemar basketball and baseball is
Garrett that. Garrett hadn't said anything on the pod in 3 weeks, and then he's going to say that.
It's true.
But, like, Ingemar every year is really, really good at basketball, girls and boys. And then it surprised me every year that, like, I don't know if this sounds bad or not, but they're, like, such a letdown in baseball. You ever realize that?
It's been years since Ingemar's fielded a good baseball team.
I mean, they've got Kelton Hall. They've had Cade Hall. Yeah, both the Hall brothers. They've had Easton Williams, who I played ball with growing up as well. It's just really interesting to me to see that the players that they had go through there, and they're just the success isn't there.
That kind of serves as one of our hotter ballads for the week, you know, about the discussion between
is basketball and baseball.
Yeah,
I mean that's something that you would have to ask the. I mean, at Ingemar, I would say probably basketball.
Definitely basketball.
Nettleton, you probably say baseball. Corinth, I think you would say football or basketball. I don't think you would say baseball.
I don't know. Since I'm from Corinth, like, everybody loves football from where I'm from. But, dude, baseball, when baseball season comes around, they go to games. Baseball is very popular.
I wouldn't say it is now. Not as much as it was a few years ago when they were state championship contending. I would say they're more basketball now. Maybe not as much as they used to.
By the way, that's another series. The Corinth and North Pontotoc, that is a very exciting series.
That's a baseball series?
Yes.
Oh, man, that'll be Who's the higher seed?
Corinth is the higher seed.
Corinth is the higher seed? Oh, so they'll start at Corinth. Then they'll move
game
to
one, Corinth, North Pontotoc game
and
two.
Then back to Corinth. North Pontotoc's a tough place to play.
Do y'all like that series setup, or do y'all like it?
I think that makes sense.
They do it like that. Softball, or at least they used to in softball, the visitor got game one, and then the home team got game two and three. Cut down on travel for high school kids.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea where you play one at home, go away, and then get the other one at home. I think that's kind of fun.
What sucks to me is when I was a senior in high school, we would have to go all the way down to Yazoo County and play, because they're in the north. I mean, that's all the way to Jackson almost. Mm-hmm. Play round one, play one game, then we had to come back and play them at Nettleton the next day. Was that right, Buzz? The next day?
Well, if you're first in your division, you got your first game at home. If you were second and third, you had to go somewhere else.
Like, yeah, that's how it was in high school baseball, if I remember correctly. Used to, it was you played Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and then Saturday afternoon.
It's a lot of travel, especially for high school kids.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But high school's fun. I love talking high school sports. It feels like it's something that our listeners enjoy listening to as well. So I'm eager to see how these playoffs go. With high school baseball, you really never know how it's going to go, because teams can get hot at the right time.
All it takes is one team getting their bats hot.
Yeah, I mean, the year that Belmont, and in that 2015 year, Devin Kossuth, you could take a razor and look at it, and it'd be thinner than that, how close those teams were to each other. It just took – I know a lot of them were telling me Isaac Sparks made a play in the hole and threw him out at first. I mean, it was a year where just whoever made that one play was going to win it, and Belmont ultimately did. I think they got beat by Summerall in the state championship that year, and Summerall's a team that's just loaded every year. But, I mean, of course, when Chuck was at Houston, that was a team that – that was probably other than Drew Bianco.
He got a champion ring to show for it.
Yeah, other than Drew Bianco and Thomas Dillard's team at Ole Miss, I think that's the second best team that's ever came through Mississippi.
We beat them.
They were one then.
No, but we played twice.
Those two teams, I think, while I was in high school, with that costume team as well, were three of the top three teams I've ever seen come through Mississippi. I'm pretty sure.
What college talent was on that Houston team? In terms of D1 talent.
Luke Hancock.
Luke Hancock.
Yeah, Luke Hancock.
Tanner Smith was committed
to Ole Miss.
And then that didn't happen. That was it. But the rest.
Didn't he have a pitcher? What was his name? Like Outlaw or something? I can't remember his name. What was his name? He pitched the state.
I forgot about Denver McQuarrie. Yeah.
That's who it is, Denver McQuarrie.
Well, and let me say, too, I realize I said D1 talent. You know, not to discount any JUCO guys on those teams, because especially in baseball, there are JUCO guys in the state that are just unbelievable talents, and they just go unnoticed. And you know, they're just unbelievable talent.
Yeah, that team we had 11 people that played either pitching or DH or something different. 10 out of 11 people went on to play some type of college baseball.
That's ridiculous.
What's crazy about that Oxford team, we were talking about that a minute ago, Chase Kessinger, who was probably, you could say, the 2 or 3 pitcher from Northeast when he was there. He said he was the fourth guy on the JV his junior year. He didn't even pitch varsity.
Their whole JV was like Houston's varsity when it comes to
– I mean, and he was on the JV as a junior in high school. That's amazing to me.
Speaking of Kessinger, Ole Miss baseball, college baseball, let's move into college baseball talk.
Big weekend.
Big weekend. Let's forget about last weekend.
Put it behind us. It didn't happen.
Put it behind us. I mean, guy snuck a ball over the outfield that even the South Carolina bench thought was a pop fly. Even the hitter thought it was a pop fly. But anyway, we move on from that, and we move on to this weekend, as it's a pretty big weekend, even regarding the circumstances of the teams. It'd still be a pretty big weekend.
Ole Miss football's going to get their first dub of the season.
Does
one of them?
Jackson Dart's team.
Does Ole Miss?
We'll get to that too. We got to talk about that.
Does Ole Miss call this weekend? They call it Grove Bowl weekend. Got it. I couldn't remember. The state calls it Super Bulldog weekend. I couldn't remember if Ole Miss had a name for it.
That's just such a stupid name.
The Grove Bowl weekend.
It doesn't always fall on this. I might. We just hadn't had it, but it is double decker this weekend.
Yes, that's just a rare occurrence. Usually. The Grove Bowl weekend don't fall on the weekend of the state series either.
Yeah.
This is in terms of, you know, the content. Do you want to say that word? It's one of the biggest Grove Bowl weekends in school history.
Do you think 60,000 to 80,000 people in Oxford this week?
Do you think Lane planned this? Like this was a planned moment from him?
No, this was the Ole Miss athletic department. Not everything runs through Lane Kiffin, Toby.
perfect.
It does. He runs the school.
It should.
But it's going to be a fun weekend in Oxford. Of course, the two teams aren't where we want them to be at the time right now. But, I mean, it's still Ole Miss, Mississippi State. It's still the Grove Bowl. It's still a double-decker. This is the first double-decker we've had in 2 years, too. So, I mean, it's going to be a weekend that's packed full of content, as Peyton said. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Of course, the pitching staff has been released for this weekend as well. Who is it, Thursday?
DeLucia, Hunter Elliott, then the Diamond on Sunday.
Saturday, that's right.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, Chuck, and I'm not going to ask you to get anything deep. I'm not going to do the thing where you have to be like, no, Toby, I'm not doing it. But, you know, Ole Miss did win on Thursday 9-1. And I was feeling very confident about it. And then you kind of talked to us about how you thought it was a game changer when that South Carolina player snuck out that home run. But, I mean, you know, I'm asking you more kind of as a former college baseball player. You know, there's the meme around that's baseball or whatever. But kind of talk about how – you know, a series can change just like that. The momentum, the trajectory of it off a play like that. You know,
well, I mean, that doesn't happen, and the game continues like it panned out. Is 2-0, Ole Miss wins. Like, you can't say that, but at the same time, like, breaks happen all the time, and it's whoever catches the most breaks, and Ole Miss cannot catch a break for them right now, save their life.
I will agree with that. Despite we can all have our frustrations when we lose to Ole Miss, whether justified or not. This is a team that so far just has not caught many breaks. I mean, let's be completely honest about that.
I'm going to dumb it down for our podcast people here. But me and Peyton were talking. We play intramural men's softball at Ole Miss.
Yes. This is a very comparable situation.
Let's dumb it down. Okay. Last week, Chuck hits a home run. Okay. We're down 5-2. It had a 3-run home run. It was going to be 5-5. They call an illegal pitch. Chuck ends up getting out. We don't score those runs in inning. We get beat. We don't get those breaks in our intramural men's softball. Ole Miss don't get those breaks either.
It's like it's connected in the game of baseball
and the game of softball. If you don't get breaks, sometimes you don't win.
The title is definitely episode 15. We play intramural softball.
We got a big game tomorrow night.
I'm gonna put Brent State's minus buzz. Oh man, no, but you know. It is kind of funny. You know, Chuck actually, after that game, asked me to bench him. He was like, look, man, I play terrible. I just need you to bench me.
Chuck is a JUCO bandit. He's in the lineup.
He's a dirty JUCO player. Yeah. I mean, and by dirty, I mean that in a positive way. It's a baseball term.
I did get my first hit off a guy throwing 97 at TCU now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a W.
That's a W right there. Yeah.
But do you have 2 infield singles on the year? Because I do.
Shut up. Running a whole 2 miles an hour.
It's just been fate, Toby Day.
But you got the Cubs to respond to you on Twitter.
I did.
You know, if we were a video podcast, I'd slap that tweet up right now. But regardless, Toby got 1,000 likes on Twitter because the Cubs responded to him. Anyway,
the Cubs felt pity on me.
Just get something.
Speaking of closeness and just college baseball in general, listen to the rankings right now. 2 people are tied for first, me and Peyton at 23.
Boom! I had my comeback week last week.
Tied for third place would be Toby and Grady at 21.
Wow.
And then Buzz is at 20 right there. Like, everybody's within striking distance.
Yeah. Just the thing, kind of like taking a week off. I mean,
did you really take a week off?
I didn't have picks 1 week.
Applause to Buzz though for coming back. Yeah, that's huge. Let's see. I'm kind of curious because I did
best this week.
Yeah, I was down pretty 17. Big last week. Yeah, I mean, so we all got Ole Miss wrong. Jeez. All of us were all going to the Rebels. Win. I picked MSU as the Buzz. I picked Texas A&M won that series. Very surprising there. Tennessee. Chuck and Toby picked them in a sweep, so they did not get those points. I picked Vandy to beat Florida. Arkansas, I picked in a sweep. Did that sweep hit?
It did.
Oh, that's so good. And then I picked Kentucky, as did most everybody else, except Toby, who picked Missouri to win the series. And they did, in fact, win the series.
Oh, yay! Hey, he didn't know that! I was sitting there like, man, what?
Shout out to Toby. Grady had the worst week with one.
Yep.
You picked one correctly. Who was the one he picked correctly?
Tennessee.
Arkansas. Oh, it was Tennessee. No, he didn't pick LSU. He picked LSU. Oh, man. But is there anything else y'all really want to talk about? I do want to ask you this before we get into it. To go on the other end of the spectrum for state listeners, hot or bad, this win, and I'm not saying if you say this is valid that you're picking them to beat Ole Miss or whatever. I'm saying hot or bad, though, the series win against Auburn will change the trajectory of their season.
Like, if you could, like we said, if we had an Instagram live right now, you could sort of see Mississippi State's year. They started off pretty level. Like, I mean, they sort of had an incline going into the season because they won the national championship, of course. A week in, they had a steep dive. They fell off hard. And I feel like they're leveling out now, and they're sort of coming back up. Ole Miss, we're in that steep dive right now. So, for Mississippi State right now, this is to keep going up that incline. For us, this is to get us out of our pit of despair. Well, I'm trying to think of the word for it. We've jumped out of the plane. I don't want to hit the ground right now, if you know what I'm saying. I just want us to pull the cord on the parachute and see.
So you're saying this weekend is a parachute weekend. We can pull the parachute this weekend.
Yeah, we need to pull the parachute because we're getting closer and closer to the ground every week.
I guess I proposed it, so my answer, I mean, why you know my answer. I mean, I think it's kind of valid. Even if they don't win against Ole Miss this weekend, they've gotten themselves now a quality win. Because that's really what State had lacked so far, was a quality series win to make a push for the postseason. And now they've gotten that. Well, even if Ole Miss does take 2 and 3 from State this weekend, they've now set themselves up, all right, we have a quality top 25 series win against Auburn. So now we transition and try to win. There's 5 SEC series left. You got to go the rest of the way and try to – if you're State, you need to – I would say you got to win at least 3 of your last 5 to push yourself into a chance to play yourself in. But if you really want to feel safe, you need to either win 4 out of 5 or 5 of the last 5.
Knowing Mississippi State, they're going to play their best ball this week.
And they still have Tennessee on the schedule. I think at this point, with how good Tennessee's been, if you win a series against Tennessee, if State somehow won that series against Tennessee, if you win a Tennessee series this year, you should automatically be played sometime.
I don't see that happening.
I don't. Yeah. But I'm just saying, with how good Tennessee's been this year, if you beat them in a 3-game series, you deserve to just automatically be placed in the tournament. I don't care if you're 4-seed or what, but you deserve to be.
I think a win this weekend, this sounds sort of sublime, but I think winning 2 this weekend would be pretty good for Ole Miss. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it'd be massive.
Yeah.
For both teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be our first home series.
I want to read you off the standings.
2 and then 2, maybe 1 this weekend and then 1 in the Governor's Cup, because we're playing 4 games in a row.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to read you off the standings for the SEC right now. In the East, so starting in the East, Tennessee at 14-1, number 1. Georgia at number 2, 9-6. Vanderbilt at number 3, 7-8. Florida at 4, 6-9. South Carolina also tied for 4th with 6-9. And then tied for last in the East, Missouri and Kentucky at 5-10. As for the West, Arkansas 11-4, number 1, Alabama, and Auburn tied at number 2, along with Texas A&M, all 3 tied for the 2 spot with an 8-7 record in the conference. LSU at 5-7-8, State at 6 with 6-9, and Ole Miss currently in last at 5-10.
I think where you could like see all that, you could make the statement that the SEC's tough, but
SEC's super tough.
Other than Tennessee and Arkansas, like those records are not very promising.
I think it's even keel all the way around.
I actually agree with that. I don't think it's top heavy.
Yeah, I think it's Tennessee and then 50 feet or whatever you want to call
me,
it. And then
I can't remember if it was me and you, Buzz, Arkansas, or me and you, Grady. But we were talking about Missouri, who's tied for dead last in the East. Chuck, I'm sure you've watched plenty of SEC baseball this year, as much as you can at least. Missouri is a pretty dang good team. They gave Tennessee a tough battle in 2 of their 3 games last week. And this is a team that started off with their first 3 series being Tennessee, Arkansas, and Georgia. I mean, that is a tough slate to start your season. That's the top 3 teams in the SEC starting off your slate. And Missouri is only 5. They're only 5-10. I know, you say, wow, that's a terrible record. But you got to look at the context of it. To come out of that slate like that, I mean – I feel like all around the SEC is just pretty dang good this year. I mean, Ole Miss is dead last, and we know Ole Miss has the potential to be a top 10 team in college baseball because they have been a top 10 team in college baseball this
year. We were number 1 team in the nation 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, if that tells you anything.
If you would have told me 2 or 3 weeks ago, if we would have been 5, we're coming into the Mississippi State Series, where this series is touted all the way at the beginning of the year, we believe this was a top 10 matchup. The winner of this series is going to be the number one team in the baseball. If you'd have told me two or three weeks ago that Ole Miss would go from 5-1 to 10-25, Mississippi State winning and being the top 25 in the past 3 weeks, I'd have slapped you.
When's the last time you think Ole Miss and State played each other? Neither one were ranked.
That'd be a great stat to know. I mean, for neither to be ranked, God, you'd have to go back so far. Because Mississippi State has been – I mean, Mississippi State has been ranked –
Since before the Mangum era, will probably
– Yeah, I mean, the last time I can remember Ole Miss not being ranked was the Louisville series back in 2020 when we beat them to start the year.
I thought we were top 25.
Were we top 25? If we were number 25.
I think it was 22. What's the difference?
But either way – that might have been the last time that, I mean, is it Chuck just called the question? He may be right. But it's been a long time since one of these teams wasn't right, much less both. I really don't know how long that would be, but it would be very interesting to know.
This is my question for the pod this week. What does not getting swept, but what does a series loss mean for Ole Miss after this weekend if that were to happen?
Devastating in one word.
Not in one word, but like in a
I'm not going to say it's a season ender because, you know, that's the great thing about college sports, especially in basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
In technicality, nothing's a season ender because you can run your season tournament.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's one thing, and I'm not going to ask you to say anything, Chuck, but I feel like that's one thing even Chuck would say. You know, series loss state at this point, that would hurt. I mean, let's be honest. It hurts any year,
I mean,
but in the current situation.
I got a stat. So
go ahead.
There's not a single team in the SEC who's won 14 games and not made the tournament. If Ole Miss only has to give 9-6 the rest of these, well, only, but
yeah.
9-6 yeah. and gets
yeah.
it. So,
yeah.
Like, even if we got swept here, which I don't think is going to happen at
yeah.
all, like, go 9-3, the rest, like, makes it a lot harder to do. But this series is just as important, who do we play? Missouri, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
That series
Missouri,
is just as important.
We have Missouri, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Missouri, Arkansas, Texas A&M, LSU.
Very winnable series the rest
yes.
of the year.
Like, yeah.
The only one that you could say could be probable that we could lose is Arkansas at Fayetteville.
But Arkansas has been very vulnerable at times.
They have been, but they played really good at home.
Yeah.
I'd like to say this. Auburn is, are they third in the SEC right now or third in the
West? They are tied for second in the
yeah.
West.
Second in the West, all right. We beat Auburn. Tennessee got swept. Bama, who played Tennessee the best so far besides Tennessee Tech, I know.
Woodback game.
Yeah. And then South Carolina, who beat Texas earlier in the year, swept
yeah.
Texas earlier in the season.
Yeah.
We beat Kentucky. So it's just baseball is what it is. And we say that all the time.
There's the meme.
That's
baseball?
Baseball?
But you know, we meme it. I think people meme it, especially because of the frustration around Ole Miss.
They only meme it because Ole Miss said it. That's
but,
the only reason.
But it's true. I mean, it really is. Sometimes it is. I mean, that's just baseball.
There's 10 SEC series for a reason.
I don't want to talk about this too though. You're a baseball guy. You know baseball. You play baseball. Me and you've played baseball together for a long time. Baseball, more than any other sport, is a mental game. Can
mm-hmm.
we all agree on that?
Yes.
In Major League Baseball, you play 162 games. And it's mentally more toiling than it is physically, I feel like, a lot of times.
Baseball, more than anything, you and I haven't played baseball since ninth grade, but
yeah.
I even know this about baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball, more than any other game, it don't matter how many losses you have that season. I mean, you have to find a way every weekday and weekend game to say, all right, put it behind us. Let's move forward.
I agree with you on that. But this is my point that I'm trying to make. When you haven't won a game in SEC play at home in two series against, of course, Alabama is a good baseball team. We can say that. But we didn't win a game. We didn't win a game against Tennessee at home either. And we saw there was a tweet when Kemp Otterman hit the double that ultimately tied the game in the ninth. The only guy that I saw in the dugout that was cheering for him when he got that hit was Ben Van Cleve.
He was out of the dugout.
He was the only
cheering.
Guy that was cheering. But the rest of the dugout, like, hadn't made a move or anything. The only thing that I'm afraid of with Ole Miss baseball is are they mentally checked out at times? Because I feel like if you're hitting a double in the ninth inning in an SEC series on the road, and there's only one guy cheering for your teammate as he's tied it up in the ninth inning in a series-clinching game, and there's only one guy cheering for him, I'm like – watching that makes me beg the question, are they mentally checked out? And I know it's a new weekend. We've got a new week ahead of baseball. But I want to see, and I've said this all year, I say this every week, I'm ready to see some dog in the Rebels this weekend.
Yeah, it's so tough when you look back at it, because I looked at it and I believe this is the first time since the 90s Ole Miss has started 0-6 at home in SEC play. And
it wears on you. It has to wear on you.
It wears on you.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we talk about Ole Miss not getting a break. You know, you come into the year and we came into the year, we looked at the SEC slate and we're like, Tennessee, okay, that's going to be a tough, good series. And then Alabama, okay, that's one of the worst teams in the SEC West. That's a good home win, you know. And then it turns out it's the best team in college baseball, one of the best teams. I don't care if they don't win the national championship this year. This is one of the best college baseball teams in recent memory. And then an Alabama team that has given Tennessee their best test this year. You drew them as your first two home series. That's just a tough draw.
You can make excuses, but at the time we played Tennessee, you would think mentally at that time, we're the number one team in the nation. And we get swept at home. I mean, I know what you're saying is they're the best team in a long time. But when
you look back at the Tennessee series, I mean, you look at, you know, Tennessee is just unbelievable. But then also you could chalk up some of it as, you know, maybe Ole Miss came in that series, like I said, number one team.
Yeah.
Ole Miss had a lot to lose. Tennessee came in number five in the nation, still highly ranked, but they're going after top dog. They have nothing to lose. They're on the road. Let's opening SEC series. They played like they had house money.
Let's go back to the mental thing I was talking about. Was it DeLucia or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Was it him after that Friday night game?
Yes, we overlooked them. We'll win tomorrow for sure.
Mentally, how do you say that? I mean, of course, he got scalded after.
Well, and you know, people scalded him, but that kind of plays into the point you said it seemed like DeLucia tried to just say, you know what, we're putting that one behind us, we're winning tomorrow. But also look at it like this, and I'm sure Chuck would agree with this. Maybe you shouldn't guarantee a win, but also, there were guys acting like there were also Ole Miss fans on Twitter that were acting like they thought DeLucia should have said, "Yeah, we're going to lose the series. It's over. We just got beat at every facet of the game. You know, we suck. We're just terrible. We need to just move on." And fire Bianco.
And then I'm not talking about that at all. I was talking about nothing. The fans. I'm not getting into it.
Yeah, but anyway.
Ole Miss fans are so ruthless for no reason.
They are.
Okay. Worst fans in the SEC, and I'm one of them when it comes to football.
I just think it's – I don't know if it's entitlement. I guess it is entitlement. It is. But, I mean, it's just
– we just expect them.
It is high expectations – mixed with entitlement.
But the thing is that
what makes it
say,
worse, though, is Mississippi State winning national championships.
Yeah, I mean, we can say high expectations, but every baseball analyst in the country had us with high expectations, and we have not met them yet.
No, I agree with that. But, you know, you look at it, and it's like
So when everybody is giving high expectations, we expect the best.
You get high expectations, you return eight position players.
I will say this. It's just tough because – and don't get me wrong, I'm very upset – with where it's been at this point too. But also, you know, it gets so easy. And you know what? I'm obviously not. And you've made your feelings known, by the way. So we're about to get on this topic. And because Chuck is a baseball manager, in case anybody from Ole Miss was to, I'm about to get into the topic of people debating whether Mike Bianco should be fired or not. I'm going to put that right
there.
But I want to say that because I'm actually going to bring up a point interesting about it, I think. I want to say right now, in case anybody from Ole Miss is listening, Chuck Spencer has told us multiple times that Mike Bianco is one of the best coaches in college baseball and should not be fired for any reason whatsoever. I want to say that right now, just in case for some reason anybody was listening, including somehow Coach Mike Bianco. Coach, I love you no matter what. Anyway, now let's get into this talk. So, yes, I understand when expectations aren't met, the number one thing people want to see is a change at the top. Let's just be honest there. But also, you have to think about Ole Miss baseball before Mike Bianco got here was poverty. It was absolute poverty garbage that hadn't seen an Omaha appearance in 40 years. And I know you need more than one appearance in 22 years. But also, I will say this. Regardless of whether you think there should be a change at the top or not, there are people, there are fans that downright just don't care what Mike Bianco has done for this baseball. Can we all agree with that? There are fans that act like Ole Miss has been a perennial baseball contender for 60 years, and that's just quite not the case. They have been in our lifetime, but that's just not the case historically. And people need to realize, you know, if you think Ole Miss baseball is in a bad state right now, you know, you want to change at the top, that's fine. That's your opinion. But sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side, because all it takes is for Ole Miss to make a coaching change and then to hire the wrong guy, and then you're just back in absolute poverty in the best baseball league in the country.
But I've got an example of when you make the right decision. I'm not saying that it is the right decision for Ole Miss to do. It's not my place to. It's Keith Carter's and only Keith Carter's. It's Ole Miss alumni. It's not my decision.
And that's the thing I want to say. We are not going to take positions, especially with Chuck being on this podcast. We are not going to take positions publicly on whether we think Mike Bianco should or should not be retained.
On May 11th, 2018, this article was published by ESPN.com. The Toronto Raptors fired coach Dwayne Casey on Friday, the team announced on May 11, 2018. Dwayne Casey that year for the Toronto Raptors won the Coach of the Year. He was the Coach of the Year for the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. Okay. They were a team that competed perennially in the playoffs. They were a really good team. They had DeMar DeRozan. They did all these kinds of things. They were a really good team, and a lot of people were thinking, this is the best that the Toronto Raptors are ever going to be. They're never going to be anything different. Why do we hire a coach? Why do we hire a coach when the coach we just had won the Coach of the Year? They hired Nick Nurse. What happened 2 years later? They won a national championship. And I'm not saying that's something that could happen to us, but Dwayne Casey, the Coach of the Year, they fired him. Everybody's like, they just fired this guy. Everybody was trolling them because they won the national championship. Then Nick Nurse went and won a national championship.
You're right. He was the Coach of the Year. That was 2018.
Yeah.
LeBron left the East State.
Okay, but that's a confounding variable. Okay, though.
But how does this affect LeBron's legacy?
We're not talking about LeBron. No, this conversation into LeBron.
That's not what I'm saying.
Was Kawhi on the Spurs in 18?
Yes, he was, but he got traded.
That's when Kawhi went to the Raptors, and LeBron goes to the Lakers, and that was the Raptors. They were the Eastern Conference Finals every single year, and LeBron beats them. So LeBron leaves, and they win a championship when LeBron leaves.
That's right. You derail
that conversation.
It's not about LeBron, but you get in there, and you make it about LeBron.
We're talking about head coaches.
You brought it up.
You talked about LeBron when we're talking about basic coaches.
College baseball to Mike Bianco to the Toronto Raptors to LeBron.
How does this affect LeBron?
Welcome to the Sports Hour Podcast. Corey is going to come and cuss all of you out for bringing LeBron.
But I do agree. I do agree with your take.
Yeah.
I just want something to happen. I need some kind of change. Not with the coaching. I just need something to change in the mentality of Ole Miss Rebels.
And that's a fair ask.
I want to see, whether we win the national championship or not, I just want to see the fight that I know Ole Miss has. I saw it at the beginning of the year. I know we've hit some kind of a slump. I need something to happen that brings me back in and see if this team can win something.
Like Greg said, simply put, and we'll move on to picks, the Rebels need a break. Simple as that.
I'm going to go ahead and call it, this is a must-win series this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We've said that for the last month.
Not especially because
everything now is a must-win for the Rebels.
Well, I know we have so many more games left. Just for the pride and to get your mentality back to say that we are proven winners, we have to beat State at home. Especially when there's going to be 40, 50,000 people in Oxford, Mississippi this weekend. You have to beat State at home.
That's fair. Chuck, start us out with picks.
We got South Carolina. I put USU instead of USC at all.
Man, this is a tough one because, I mean, South Carolina obviously just beat Ole Miss. They're pretty high. You know, it's funny. Ole Miss and State are playing this week, and then the teams they played last week are playing each other this week as well. I thought that's kind of funny. But anyway, South Carolina I feel like I've got to pick them. I also feel like – I don't know. Ooh, this is tough.
Where's it at?
It's at Auburn. No, you know what? I'm going to roll with the Tigers. I'm going to say series win. I think this could be the most competitive series of the weekend in the SEC. But – in South Carolina, you know, the big Ole Miss, they're hot right now. I feel like they're playing very good baseball right now. But simply put, Auburn's too good of a team to lose back-to-back series. I'm going to say Auburn.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Go ahead, Buzz.
Give me South Carolina. That team looked good against Ole Miss. They could hit. Give me South Carolina series win.
I've said it all year, going to continue saying it. War Eagle. The Auburn Tigers is one of the best teams in the SEC. I've looked at them. I like them.
I would never say War Eagle, by the way.
No, not either.
Grady?
South Carolina's so up and down right now. Their overall record is, let me check that again, it's 18-17. They're 6-9 in conference.
Nice.
They're 1-7 in away games. So I'm going to go Auburn at home. South Carolina, like I said, they sort – and like Chuck said too, I mean, they're one break away from having a Mickey Mouse home run to losing a game. So, I mean, it's just one of those things to where I'm going to go with the team at home when the team doesn't play that well on the road at 1-7 on the road.
Yeah, I think South Carolina played their best baseball when they beat Texas and they beat Ole Miss this past weekend. I think they get caught in a lull. I'm going Auburn.
So, Bo stands along with the Gamecocks. Tennessee at Florida. Florida dropped out of the top 25 this weekend.
You mean to go?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Tennessee in a sweep. Florida's reeling. I don't know what the reason is with Florida right now, but I'm going with Tennessee. Tennessee, after dropping one this week, I feel like they're going to come back for blood this weekend and sweep Florida.
I think with Florida losing, they lost this past weekend, I think they're going to play a little bit better. Give me Tennessee to win just because I just think they're so good, but I don't think they'll sweep them.
I feel like we've been saying all year Florida's going to play better this week, and they just never showed me.
They're going to play better this week.
I pick Florida every weekend, and they just disappoint me, so I'm going Tennessee in a sweep.
I think Tennessee has come down to earth just a little bit. They lost two games, but I still think they get a series win in Florida.
I just don't feel like you can pick against the Vols until they lose the series. I don't think they sweep on the road, but I will say Tennessee win.
I'm also going Tennessee. Next, we got Vandy at Kentucky.
Sheesh. That's an interesting series. Kentucky is another team that I feel like is better than their record this year. Mm-hmm. Vandy is too well coached, and they have too much talent. They started off poorly in conference play. They got a nice series win last week. I feel like now Vandy's going to be on the upswing. I like Vandy. You know what? Give me the Commodores in a sweep this weekend on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vanderbilt. I'm going to go series win, though.
I think it's just so hard to win on the road in the SEC. I like this Kentucky team. They're playing pretty good. Give me Kentucky to beat Vanderbilt.
I'm going with Vanderbilt. They were one game away. They got beaten extras against Florida to avoid the sweep. So I'm going Vanderbilt.
I'm also going Vandy. Next, we got Georgia at Alabama.
That's another tough series. Man, there's a lot of good series in the SEC this
tough,
weekend.
Yeah.
Alabama obviously took one game from Tennessee. It's more than any other SEC team has been able to do so far. Georgia, remind me, Chuck, of last week's result with Georgia. I can't remember. I went blank on what happened with Georgia last week.
Georgia lost to A&M.
That's a tough loss. But A&M is also looking like a better baseball team than everybody thought they were going to be in the SEC West. I think I like Alabama here at home. I think they're going to rebound off a series loss. Todd, they have exceeded expectations in the West, and I think they're going to keep doing that series win.
I'm also going Alabama in a series win.
I'm going to go Alabama. They look good. I mean, I like them. That Ole Miss series, obviously, they swept us. So, give me Alabama in a series win.
At the beginning of the year, I called Georgia a top 10 baseball team. And I think they've played pretty good. And I think Alabama, I think they're going to peak. Give me Georgia to beat Alabama.
I respect the statement, dude.
Okay, this is what I'm going to say. I think Alabama sweeps. I'm going Alabama sweep.
We can save that next series for last.
All right, next we got Mizzou at LSU.
You know what? I'm going Missouri with a series win. I'm going to jump on Toby's train. I think this, like we said, I think this is a Missouri team that is a lot better than the record indicates. And LSU has just been so up and down, I don't feel confident picking them in a series until they show me something. Now, obviously, since I have to pick Missouri, they will sweep, or LSU will sweep this weekend at home. But I'm going to say Missouri goes on the road and gets the win somehow.
No, I'm going LSU in a sweep. I think the Tigers bounce back.
Yeah, I'm going LSU series win.
LSU get swept last week?
They did. I think LSU's primed for a comeback. Give me the Bayou Bengals to beat Missouri.
Oh, my gosh. Swept. Okay. I'm going to go LSU and a series win as well.
I'm getting peer pressure, but no, I'm going to stay.
They're 17-5 at home. They're a 500 team at home.
It's okay to pick a wild for Nathan. It's okay. But
I'm going with LSU.
Arkansas at A&M for the next one.
That's another good series.
Like I said, this is close to one of the best series of SEC baseball this weekend. I'm going to go Arkansas, and man, I'm picking so many road teams this weekend. But I just think I just think Arkansas is the best team in the SEC besides Tennessee, so I'm going to roll off that alone. I think Arkansas wins.
Yeah, give me Arkansas. I mean, I haven't seen A&M this year, but it's hard to pick against Arkansas in any series, so give me Arkansas series win.
After a slow start, they have been climbing back. They have been climbing back, inching their way back up. Give me the Razorbacks to beat A&M at home.
They're on the road.
Well, A&M's home.
So funny.
A&M's a good baseball team.
Yeah, they are.
They are a good baseball
team. 21-13.
22-13. 13-7. 13-7 at home. They're playing at home, right?
Yeah,
they're a good team.
And when Texas A&M is good, the 12th man is like a hard place.
They've scored a lot of runs. Let me see.
College Station. Which
I guess in baseball,
so hard to.
I guess in baseball it would be the 10th man.
The two games they've won against Georgia, they beat them 8-1 and 23-9. So, I mean, that's a lot of runs.
Sounds like a team that beat the Sports Hour podcast.
Ouch.
We didn't have to mention that. Let's cut that. But anyways, I'm going to go with A&M at home. Give me A&M. All
right, so it's just me left. I'm going to Arkansas. I would go sweet, but since it's in College Station, I'm just going to go.
All right, and the series I don't know if we've all been waiting to pick the series or not, but it is the Bulldogs and the Rebels, the Egg Bowl of the baseball field.
On the sheet it says them at Ole Miss.
Them at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I got to say, just an off-topic thing because he said them at Ole Miss. When they called us T-Sun, I don't know why, but that, more than anything State's ever done, has gotten under my skin. Mainly because it's just such a petty little brother move to not even acknowledge. But we acknowledge Mississippi State's name because we're big brother. We don't call little brother names.
It's so funny to me because we've talked about this since we've been back from the Duke and North Carolina game. There was 40,000 people there. 20,000 were Duke people. 20,000 were North Carolina people. There wasn't a single fight. If you put four Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans in a room together during the Egg Bowl, they're going to fight.
This is the most toxic rivalry, you could argue, in college
sports. I agree. I agree. It is.
Toxic.
Yeah.
The only sport in which is not toxic is basketball, because neither of those schools could care less about basketball.
Yeah. But they will still fight over it, though. I mean,
sure. Yeah, just because of the names that are against each other.
All right, let's Chuck, you've already given us your pick. Rebels on sweep, right?
I have.
All right, Rebels on sweep.
I love it, Chuck.
Let's start, Grady. Let's start with you.
Ole Miss in a series win, please, sir.
Ole Miss in a series win.
I want an Ole Miss series win so bad.
Oh.
We need it. I feel it. It's on the
tip of my tongue. It's the fact that it's our time. It needs to happen this weekend. Give me Ole Miss to win at Swayze. It's tough. Honestly, you could take a coin and you could flip it, call heads or tails.
You really
lands
on a whole of them.
Yeah, and this one specifically, because there's no real true answer who's going to win this series.
Really can.
Grady, you said earlier you want to see some dog at Ole Miss this weekend.
You
I'm afraid
see
you're
going
to see a lot of dogs. So give me – I don't like this, but give me State in the series win.
Call
a
sweet Graham.
If Buzz picked Ole Miss, I was gonna pick State so that karma didn't bite us in the butt. But with you picking State, I'm rolling with the Rebels. I've got to be the optimist.
You gotta fade Buzz.
Yeah, I've got to be the optimist.
I want to be faded.
And you know what? Gosh dang it, Chuck, I'm wrong with you. Circle my name. I'm going sweet for the Rebels. It is the dumbest pick I've made all year. Because even though I think Ole Miss will win, I just don't think either of these teams would sweep.
With the stipulation that this is a four-game series, including the Tuesday, does that mean you're calling for all four games to be won?
No, it's a series, right?
If I wasn't going to blow people's ears out, I would get right up to the mic. The Governor's Cup is so Mickey Mouse. Why don't we play a game in Pearl? Nobody cares. Don't play the game in Pearl. You can play Southern Miss in Pearl, but don't play a fourth time in Pearl. That is so stupid. Ran over.
That is pretty dumb. Why couldn't we just rotate it from Ole Miss to State every year?
I guess it's just a part of it because it's in Jackson.
You know, there's two
it's
reasons.
Governor's Cup,
there's two reasons
Jackson.
I hate it. One, it's a money making scheme so that the people in Jackson who are too lazy to drive up to their schools to pay them respect and to give them support can see them play. And also, two, we suck in the Governor's Cup. Okay, I hate losing to State. We've lost 11 of the last 13 of the Governor's Cup. I hate the Governor's Cup.
That's Jake Mangum Trophy now. Because he beat us every year, isn't it?
That trophy don't matter. The only trophy that matters between this rivalry is the Egg Trophy.
And where's it at? It's here.
So.
Well, guys, this has no longer been the Sports Hour podcast. This has been the Sports Hour in 6 Minutes podcast.
Well, next week, the 2 hour podcast.
That's a dad joke right there. Yes. You know, you're probably listening, if you listened to last week's episode, all 9 of you. Debate ourselves. Look, we're building this thing, bro. Anyway, if you listened last week,
Toby hated those listens.
My ego makes me listen to myself.
If you listened last week and you heard us say the draft episode, we decided to push that back next week to right before the draft. But yes, it will be next week. I can confirm you with you will be our draft episode. We will start with college baseball, and we will quickly talk baseball, both high school and college, and then we will move to baseball. Honestly, we might need to do like two episodes next week. Yeah, no joke. I think we may need to do a draft episode and then a mini episode where we talk about everything else.
I think we need to do a draft episode the night before the draft, and then we do our normal episode that week of too. Because there's a lot of high school sports that need to be talked about, and I feel like that's something that our listeners will enjoy to listen to. So I think that's something that we need to do. And I think two episodes won't hurt.
You know what? I think the plan should be for next week. I'm going to say it right now. Y'all don't have a say. Because,
okay.
You know,
go ahead.
I'm
do
doing
it. Do it.
Draft episode on Wednesday, normal time where we release our episodes, and then mini episode on Friday before game one of the second round of baseball playoffs. Sound good?
Yeah.
Let's
on
do
Friday?
That.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll release that episode on Friday before the second round of the playoffs.
When are we gonna do it that night? Like, make it that Friday
we,
night?
We'll figure out when we're gonna make it, but okay. We'll do it. That'll be the release plan. So next is the draft episode. I'm really excited. Ever since we started the podcast, that is the number one episode I've looked forward to because I've always wanted to do a mock draft for friends, so y'all better bring the heat. I'm bringing mine. Gonna be excited for it. We're gonna see which team can make it.
Giants drafted four times in the first round. Baby.
Yeah. You wish.
Two of them are Matt Corral.
If you'll give me your first round pick, I will give the Raiders Sterling Shepard and a third round pick because they need a wide receiver three, bro. Oh man! Anyway,
we really just faded our whole podcast,
guys. This has been a fun, wild episode. Oh my gosh! I mean, I don't remember the last time it's just been this out of pocket. But anyway,
we're way off in the field tonight.
Okay.
It's fun.
It was fun. It was a fun episode. But anyway, for Buzz and for Toby and for Grady and why not for Chuck as well? I'm Peyton saying so long. God bless. Hope you had a great Easter with your families, and we'll see you back next week for the Sports Hour podcast with the draft episode, the special draft episode in our next one. See you, everybody.